the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, the reading the genealogy of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ it presents the problem of remembering and knowing who all of the various people are, on the one hand. But the reality is that the most important thing is that we understand that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ was descended, and according to the Gospel of St. Luke, which is also Matthew would agree with, is to say he is descended from Adam. And we live in this era of people being very interested in their ancestry, and to the point where there are large companies that make, I would say, small fortunes, if not great fortunes, in getting people to identify their ancestry through DNA testing. And it's fascinating because, in a sense, everyone wants to know their origins at some level. And I think what's also fascinating for those of us who have, you know, extended families is that, you know, we can see that in our children, we can see traits of ourselves, and then when Matushka and I look back, we can see traits of her parents emerging in our grandchildren. And you look at it's just a fascinating connection. Because there is a connection, and it's real, and it's genetic. And in the case of the genealogy, we have a connection, literally, to Adam, the first one, the first son of God, actually. Because he was created by God. And lived in paradise, and of course, Eve was taken from part of his rib. It was, and God formed her from the rib of Adam. And so this is beginning, and it goes for generation to generation to generation. One thing that's important about it is that there have been throughout the ages people who have come forward that had spiritual gifts. And they could do miracles and they could proclaim prophecies and speak with great power, who did not represent God. And then not only did they not represent God, their power was not from God. It was the power of darkness. And this, of course, is a very serious issue because the devil can appear as an angel of light. And as an angel of light, he can speak in terms and in concepts that are consistent with divine revelation. And yet, if he's an angel of light and the devil is appearing this way, the words and the ideas and the thoughts, and even in cases of miracles that happen, are not from God. And so it's very important to have this genealogy that we have, because we know that all of we have these descendants, and they lead to the birth of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And all of the descendants were instruments of God, servants of God. And what's also fascinating, I think, is that within the context of the genealogy, you know, we have men and women who were greatly sinful. And even the King David, when he fell into sin with Bathsheba, and here he is, King David. And he went so far as to have Uriah killed on the battlefield. This is the great King David. And this, of course, is a profound sin. And he had Uriah abandoned, as it were, in the midst of battle, so he would be killed, and then took Bathsheba as his wife. And yet King David is named among those, the holy ones of our genealogy. And what's fascinating about that, though, is that he repented. And we read in our morning prayers the 50th Psalm, which is a psalm of profound repentance. And so another aspect of the genealogy for all of us is that it does include those who sinned. There's, for example, we have the King Ahaz, and he had fallen into idol worship, and Manasseh, who also engaged in sorcery and idolatry, and Tamar, who prostituted herself, and Rahab, also a prostitute, and then, of course, Bathsheba, who fell into sin with King David. And so the thing is that there are people who fell into sin, and yet they're included in our genealogy, and because God used them, and we have this unbroken chain from Adam to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and from our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ to the holy apostles and those who followed them to our own time, unbroken chain. And what we do note, once again, speaking of King David, he repented from the depths of his heart. And this is important for us because as we approach the holy feast of the Nativity of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, we can understand that it's not this, the line that leads to salvation is peppered, as it were, with sinful people. Now, the most important thing is they are sinful people who came to deep understanding and consciousness and awareness of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ and the power of salvation, and they repented. And can you imagine if the genealogy had been sanitized? There were no sinful people in it. And we'd look at it, and we'd look at our own lives, and we'd say, "But where do we fit into this? How can we possibly have a place in this line of salvation?" And what the reality is, there are examples of those who sinned and repented, and the reality is through their repentance, the truth of the gospel and the love and mercy and kindness of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ is proclaimed for all to see. And may we, as we approach this our holy feast this week, may we look into ourselves and try to have moments of true honesty and moments of awareness of who we are, and be able to look at our own weaknesses and our own failings, and be able to as it were, close our eyes and contemplate them, and then turn to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, or as though while we are contemplating them, turn to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and say, "Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, heal me. Lord, lift me up so that I can partake of this most holy feast, and that I can share in the glory of our Lord, and that I can behold him in his swaddling clothes and see him with the angels singing and the magi coming to him." And may we, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, enter into the feast with humility. Humility. And humility is so important because it's the counterbalance of pride. And I don't know about all of you, maybe I do somewhat. I think we're all alike. And we're all alike in the sense in which we have a lot of pride. And, you know, we would like to bury those things that, of which we are ashamed and to push them out of our awareness. And the truth is that, yes, we have to live a life where we don't continuously become, as it were, overcome by our sins and transgressions. And we can live this life because we have the forgiveness of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger for our salvation. So let us enter into the Holy Feast with prayer and with a desire to cleanse our hearts and minds, and a desire to be united to Him in the struggles on in the moments of His holy birth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.